Welcome to the Two Girls with Grief podcast, the podcast where we share our real and raw experiences with grief. Whether it's tears or laughter, or maybe a little bit of both, we're here to figure it out in real time. We are your hosts. I'm Kendall Rogers.
And I'm Rachel Dwyer.
And while we're not professionals, we are professional grievers.
Every Tuesday, we bring you honest conversations that break down the stigma of grief, one episode at a time, because no one should have to grieve alone. So grab a cup of coffee, settle in, and let's navigate this journey together.
Welcome to season two of Two Girls with Grief. We're so excited Woo! You're here. So we're kicking off the new season, and with a fresh year, we have some updates for y'all. First thing on the agenda is we're going to keep our episodes every Tuesday. So the normal grief episodes will be Tuesday, as y'all have been expecting to hear them. But we're going to be moving the book club episodes. It's going to be called Griefy Girls Book Club. It's going to be on its own podcast. We can separate them. You're always invited to join us there, but we wanted to separate it. So if you're into the griefy stuff, you're here. If you want to listen to more of the book stuff, you can go over there. Those episodes will be going live on Thursdays for all you fellow readers.
And we also include a link to that podcast with the name in our show notes. So our Substack will be coming out on Mondays now, and it'll be twice a month. And then you can catch the video versions of Two Girls with Grief on Wednesdays on our YouTube, and then the Griefy Girls Book Club on Fridays on its separate YouTube that's called Griefy Girls Book Club.
Yeah, so big changes already.
So this episode, we really wanted to do some reflection, looking ahead, and focus on some lessons we learned in 2024. Some differences in our podcast is that our season two will be filled with guests besides this episode, because we wanted to reintroduce ourselves, reintroduce our new format for season two. So this episode will be the only single episode with just me and Kendall, because we thought it was a good time to bring in different grief voices, different grief stories. We have our singular experiences with grief, but we really wanted to expand upon it. So that's what season two will be. So first, we wanted to reflect on our full season of grief conversations. So Kendall, how have you felt your grief journey and connecting on our podcast and in our grief community?
For one, season one was incredible. We met so many new people. We had so many people reach out to us. We got so many comments of how much just the advice that we were sharing and our experiences were helping people. That was so rewarding. Rachel and I, every time we saw a new comment come in or somebody email us, just saying that what we were talking about helped them was not making all the pain worth it, but it just was this silver lining to it all. I didn't realize how much this could be helping people. It was something I wanted when I was in like the thick of grieving, was someone like us helping me through it. So I really hope that those listening, I appreciate y'all. We thank you so much for being listeners. We really do hope that all this advice and all this pain and all this like exploration in the journey helps you in your own grieving process. For myself personally, I feel more attuned to my grief, like I'm more aligned with it, I guess. It's not a separate part of me, and it doesn't feel like it controls me as much. I don't want to say like I can control my grief now, but it doesn't feel like it controls me as it has in the previous years, where it did feel like the grief was in control and I didn't know how to navigate that. This podcast has allowed me to feel more present in those feelings, both in the worst parts of grief, but also in the best parts and the happy parts and the joyous parts, which was unexpected for me. But what was your feelings after season one?
There's power with saying your grief out loud and sharing your thoughts out loud. And it was my idea to start the podcast, but I had never spoken about it before. And so it was also a really uncomfortable feeling too, to share the things out loud and be open with my feelings, because I am not someone that shares a ton of feelings to people. So it was like constant exercising a muscle that I just never used. Besides people that are no longer here, I would tell them all my things. But other than that, I always was a little bit more private with my feelings. So this whole journey has just been very therapeutic. I feel so much lighter having shared it. And it's allowed me to get closer friendships and closer to my friends and not keep everything so distant, because I feel like I used to put everything in a box and separate it. Like, this is, I'm just living my life. We're not going to talk about my grief stuff. I'm going to keep it separate from everybody. But like you said, it's just a part of me, and allowing it to just be out in the open and share it when I want to share the feelings and really talk it through has been really helpful. And it's been so nice to just build a community of other grievers, and even in our grief support group and all the people that we have conversations with on TikTok and Instagram and through emails has just been really nice. Like, there's so many nice people that are grieving that are just looking for community and looking for support. It's been a lot of evolution for myself personally with my grief, but it's just been so rewarding to connect with people and share stories. And I really feel like you connect with people on a deeper level when you have this kind of grief connection and get that type of pain. But it also has allowed me to get closer to my friends where I feel like I kept it from them. So I think it's been a very good journey overall. Good.
Yeah, I completely agree. What were the unexpected lessons or shifts that emerged when we started opening up about grief?
I mentioned in my last question of feeling lighter, but also feeling more comfortable to be in the spotlight in a sense. Like, we're still a small podcast, we're growing, but we're putting ourselves out there. And I didn't realize until doing this podcast of how much I hid myself from being seen. I was just getting hit with all these really hard things, like with sickness and hospitals and, you know, people passing away, that I just didn't like people's pity, and I didn't like that feeling that I almost was like incognito. I just didn't want to be in the spotlight. I feel like I had lost a lot of my spark because of that too, because with grief, you feel like so many pieces of yourself are missing, and you have to be very proactive to feel like you can build yourself up again. And I took a long time to do that. So through this podcast and through this journey, and then having friends like you and building more grief community, it's just been so much more empowering, and feeling comfortable seeing my face, even like posting on social media with stuff. Like, I have never been the person to do that. It's hard for people to see you and to share things and have an opinion on what you're doing and feeling. But knowing that it's okay, and like, it's okay to step in the spotlight, it's okay to take your place, it's okay to try things. And I had stopped doing that for so long because it just feels scary when you don't have the support of people that you want to run things by are gone, to take on something new. And I feel like I hid from trying new things because of that for so long. So it's just been a lot of lessons of like stepping into your power, stepping into the light, and letting yourself shine. Even if you don't have the people that you want to be there with you shining, it's okay. And it's an important step to take. You still have to dream about your life, be excited about your life. And I feel like those are things that I stopped doing. It wasn't that I wasn't having fun or having good moments and having things to look forward to at all, but looking forward to like the future, that I had stopped doing. And this whole process has made me excited again for that and be a dreamer again, which I feel like I gave up on for a while. But what about you?
Yeah, you mentioned in last season, and I think in some sense it became our theme of season one, was finding joy in creating those little moments to make yourself happy in the thick of grieving. The sadness is all around you and you can't control the sadness. So as a griever, you just succumb to it and you live in it and you think that's your life. And for you to bring up ways to create your happiness and almost giving the agency back to the griever and say, you have all right to be happy in your life, and you deserve to after so much sadness that you've experienced. And that was something that really has shifted my mindset when it came to my grief, of that it's not going to go away, but I can create my own happiness at the same time.
I've been trying to get with the mindset, you can't be the passenger in your own life. And I feel like grief takes control and leads you in different directions. And it's really hard to jump back and be like, I'm going to take control and I'm going to decide how I want this to go, when grief really takes you down and takes so much from you that it's hard to be like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do something different. So it's been a great year dealing with all those different things and figuring out and really confronting it because there's definitely a lot of things I ran from, for sure. So looking ahead to 2025, and it's crazy that it's 2025, we're actually recording this on January 1st, which is crazy. So how are you feeling as we step into a new year with fresh possibilities?
I'm in this center of stress and strife right now. And I would say it's kind of manifested into a physical thing, as even this morning I'm having car issues and it's causing so much frustration. And I call my sister, like, on the verge of tears, being like, why is this happening? Why would this happen to me? It's January 1. It's a new year. Like, why did this happen on Christmas Day? All this stuff. And she does a great job handling my random, like, ups and downs of emotions. But really, when I was talking to her about it, I realized, like, so much of this stress was still stemming from my grief. That because of my dad not being here, there's a lot of things that still, 5 years after the fact, I'm still dealing with. And to think that ignorantly, I had packaged it all up and put it away and was done with it, when these moments arise that I still need a dad, I still need help with these things that I don't understand when it comes to, how do you switch a car title? Things that nobody teaches you. So that's what I'll be figuring out later. It was a reminder that the grief is still there. The grief still jumps out in ugly ways at times. But I can now recognize it easier now. And I hope with this new year, as I'm in this middle of a lot of change, that instead of thinking it's a reflection of myself or a reflection that my life is horrible, I can recognize it as, this is just a spoke of grief speaking out and being angry and being hurt that your dad isn't here, rather than it being a me thing or the universe is mad at me and punishing me type of thing. It's funny that grief manifests itself in so many different ways. And like, you think that it only manifests itself as super sad, depressive modes, but still it can come out in like these bouts of anger. Still, this is still 5 years later. And I'm, even today, even this morning, I was angry that like my dad didn't get this thing done before he passed. Nothing he could have done. I mean, it wasn't like in his plan to die, but these little things, a reminder of like, I'm still working through a lot of these feelings that I didn't realize I still had. But what about you?
I was highly dependent on my parents, especially more so my sister. I feel like because my dad was American, because his dad was American, but he grew up in the Philippines and moved here when he was 18 and he joined the Navy. And my mom was a naturalized citizen. But I think because of those stuff, it's like they figure it out as they go too. Mm-hmm. So my sister was really my person to like figure everything out before me and help me. So I was highly dependent on them. Like, Google didn't exist. It was Lori Hotline for everything. So definitely as people passed away, it was like, oh shit, I need to figure things out. And that still happens because you're like, when did adulting get so hard? Mm-hmm. And it's like you don't have a safety net because the people are gone. So I definitely relate to that where it's like you have to figure so much stuff out because you don't have the people that would help you figure it out. And now you're like, oh, I have to be so much more independent than I ever wanted to be, but it's fine. But to go back to the question of how I'm feeling as you step into New York with fresh possibilities, I woke up this morning. I signed up for like a 30-day reformer Pilates class.
Ooh, and I went.
And I was like one of the four people that showed up because it was New Year's Day. So I had a good day. And then I was like, I'm going to treat myself to a nice coffee because I always see people say like, act how you want your year to be. And like, do the things and practice your life and how you want it to be. So I was like, I'm going to treat myself to this nice coffee. It was $8. And I was like, that's crazy.
In this economy?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, San Francisco. But I was walking back to my car and I was like juggling my water bottle and my cup. And then I dropped half of my coffee onto my seat.
No.
And I was like, $4, literally $4 is on my,
just go on.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. And I had a moment where I was like pissed off, but then I think stuff like that races in your head. Like, oh my God, it's start of the year. I dropped this. I dropped that, blah, blah, blah. You know, like you start freaking out about like, what does this mean? And yeah, in the reality,
bad omens.
What it means is that I had my phone in my hand. I was looking at my phone. I was also holding a water bottle in a way that was, I didn't need to. Like, it had a handle. I could have held it better. And the reality was I wasn't being mindful. I'd gone to my car and I had too much going on in my hands. And I had pockets. I had a bag. Like, I didn't need to be doing that. And I think sometimes it's so easy. And I think even with grief, it's like you react to things. But sometimes it's just like you really just need to be in the moment. And in the moment, I just needed to focus on getting myself into the car when I have a hot beverage and not juggle things and be looking at my phone when I don't need to be. Like, there's no reason my phone needed to be out. So I think sometimes it's like you have to be able to decenter the situation. Like you said, it's like it's not this huge world sign. Like, I did what I needed to do to feel like I'm getting a good start for the day, which was wake up, walk James in, eat my breakfast, and get to this class at 8 a.m., even though it was cold, even though I haven't taken Reformer Pilates in a while. Like, I made the decisions, like, this is how I'm going to start my year, and I'm going to start off strong and making sure that I'm focusing on my health and happiness. And so I did that, and I spilled the coffee, but so what? Like, that was my fault. I was just juggling too much in my hands. But I think otherwise, I woke up feeling very hopeful and very, like, determined. I feel like there's so many exciting things that we want to do. I think there's just so many exciting things that I know will happen in 2025. So I think it was a good balance of, like, checking myself and, like, not letting myself run away with that, with, like, just something as, like, spilling my coffee and having to sit on it as I drive home. But then I came back. Jameson was so happy to see me. Mm-hmm. So excited. Like, looked at me like I was the best thing in this world to exist. So really, I should be grateful for that, basically, like, to come back to that. So I am feeling good into the new year, and I am happy that I got my butt up to do that. I'm also doing 75 soft with some of my friends. It's the chiller version of 75 hard, where you do, like, one 45-minute workout a day. You're supposed to, like, drink a certain amount of water, read. I think you're supposed to eat, like, mostly healthy. But it's not, like, super strict, but you're mostly healthy and drink a certain amount of water and read 5 pages a day, which that part is like, I just got into a new book. That's no problem. I'm going to exceed that goal for sure. But yeah, so I'm doing it with some friends. So it's keeping ourselves accountable. I changed our group, our Instagram, not our Instagram, our chat group to 75 Soft Crew 2025. So I was the first one to do my workout, and I was bugging them to, like, get on it. So all good things. I think it's always good to take care of your health. And I always feel good when I'm in good health and working out. And part of my goal is, like, to shed any leftover grief weight that I've had and just feeling happy to get back into the tip-top shape. So I feel good about it.
So what is exciting you the most in 2025, and personally and podcast-wise?
One big thing is with grief, it can really make you look at the new year differently. It makes you feel like it's another year without my loved ones. I mean, it's quickly going to be 9 years and 7 years without my mom, because they both passed away in February, and then it's going to be 11 without my dad. And even saying those out loud just, like, gives me a ping in the chest, because it's like, that's a crazy amount of time that I've had to live without them. So that always is, like, a weird thing that I think a lot of grievers feel, just like another year I had to be without them. But this was the first year that I felt wholeheartedly excited for the start of the year since they've been gone. Like, just at pure excitement, like, this is going to be a good year, and I know it is, and I'm going to make sure that I do what I need to do to make it sure it's a good year. 2024, I knew it was a year of change. I was optimistic for the year, but I knew I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't taking care of myself enough. I wasn't focusing on my happiness and really what I wanted enough, and I knew I needed to change. So I think 2025, it's like, I know that I've been doing the things that I want to do. I've been putting in the work for it. So I just feel so much more optimistic for 2025. And I think it's a big deal to be excited for the new year when you haven't in so long. So that is a big thing for me, to feel excited for that. And for the podcast, I'm just excited. We've already filmed some of the episodes with guests. But I'm excited for all the other conversations and to learn from other people's experiences. Everyone's grief is different, even if people have lost the same people, even if two people have lost a spouse, a daughter, or parent, whatever. Everyone feels differently. Everyone does it differently. I'm excited to have these conversations. One, because I just feel like you experience like a deep connection with someone. It's just great to have those conversations, those like heart-to-heart conversations. But also I think it's always good just having more of these conversations out there. And we're getting cool people to come on. And I think that will bring a good diverse set of topics that we're going to talk about. So I'm really excited for that. And just like other things we want to do. We separated the Griefy Girls book podcast to its own thing on Thursdays. And we both love reading. And I think that's been a really fun, lighthearted portion, I think. Minus that some of the books make me cry. Kendall's picks, but it's been a therapeutic, but also just like a fun thing. I think it's a little bit more lighthearted. And also what we can post, I think, is a little bit more fun. So I'm excited for all the things. And I think I'm excited that we separated them out because I do think that they deserve their own attention. And the grief conversations are going to be great this year. And then the grief books, there's so many that we can read. And we both love reading. So I'm sure we're going to have a really long list for that. But what about you?
Yeah. Personally, this will be a year of a lot of changes, taking chances and trying something new and trusting myself that it'll be okay. I am someone who can plan forever and be hindered by all the little details. So just trying to trust in myself and trust that I've done everything within my power to make something good in this world. And I can reveal more of that later. But in regard to the podcast, I agree, meeting other grievers, whether they're guests or whether they're listeners, we've loved getting to talk with y'all and learn about y'all's stories. And you're right, there's like a camaraderie built when you find out someone has lost somebody. It's like you're not so isolated anymore. It's like you have this horrible experience that bonds you with another stranger. And it's really interesting that our worst experiences can unite us in an odd way. I know I've mentioned on previous podcast episodes that the grieving community online is so kind and welcoming and warm. And although we're all sad, it's such a accepting, just a very kind corner of the internet, especially when the internet right now is kind of horrific and a cesspool. The griever community is really a great place to be a part of, considering it's our worst experiences that brought us together. And through those painful experiences, trying to build something positive and find the silver lining in this and continue on legacies of the people we lost. These are such beautiful things to do with one's life. When you've lost somebody, all of a sudden you're like, I gotta make my life meaningful and purposeful and make it a better place because we've seen how bad it can be.
It's funny that you said that you are such a planner. I used to be such a planner, and I'd say like a square. I would overthink so many things. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sounds responsible. I shouldn't do that. And you have to stop planning when all your plans fall through that you don't have control over because people die. So it really changed me in that way where it was like, you can plan for so much. You can think that this is exactly how things are going to go. And then you kind of have to like throw your hands up and be like, this isn't at all what I planned, but I'm going to make the best out of this situation because I deserve to still have a good life, even though so much shit has happened. But yeah, being a planner and having stuff like that happen really throws you off for sure. Yeah.
I have a running theory. If there's a sociologist, this is for you, that if you're a type A person before somebody dies, you're going to lose parts of those type A-ness afterwards because you realize being type A and being like anxiety ridden to get everything perfect does not keep people alive. Like that's a sad reality of like a type A person. I used to be so type A. I'm now like the most type B person, which is so weird because I look back and I was like, oh my gosh, I was such a different person. I cared so much about, I don't want to say irrelevant things. They were just different things. Now I care more about like, I look around at problems people are facing and I'm like, but is that life or death? because I've once had to make life and death decisions for somebody. And that really puts in perspective for me and for other people's problems of, is that problem actually like as stressful as you're making it? But then on the adverse side, I think if you were a type B person before somebody died and now after a loss, you're type A because you're thinking, oh, I should have been more on top of everything to keep them alive. And I've seen this like weird pattern with people. Like, so if you're a sociologist, please take that, run with that. I would love to see the results.
Let us know. We'll have you on the podcast and we'll talk about it.
We'll have you on the podcast. I'm very interested in seeing that.
We're going to have a 3-hour long episode about that to figure that out. I have seen that too. And I get it where it's like, you're such a plan and you're like, okay, what did that get me? And then on the flip side, we were like, okay, I need to plan everything because all these things happened that I wasn't in control of. I can see where that could take you either direction. I definitely still a planner in some things. I like to be organized. I like to, especially for like trips, like going on vacations and stuff. I'm not like, we have to do every single thing, but I like to have restaurants picked out and like things to do and places to go to, but we don't have to go to everything. But there's usually like a few places where I'm like, I need to go here. But other than that, like, I feel like I've chilled out a lot with the planning. But in terms of like stuff like this, it's like, I do like to plan. And obviously you have to show up and be reliable and get it done. It teaches you to like just have a mix. And like, you don't know how much time you have on this earth. You don't know what's going to happen, and you have to make the best out of it. So it's just been a crazy life journey full of lessons. That's for sure. So what would be your biggest grief lesson that you learned in 2024? And how do you think it's going to shape you for 2025?
Yeah, other than the one thing I mentioned earlier about having to go out and create your own joy, because it's not going to be that state of mind you're going to be in all the time as a griever, and that it should be your agency to go out and manifest that. Another one I would say would be, if your life is not making you happy or joyous, perhaps it could be because there's dissonance in it and things are not meshing the way it did. And I say that out of that loss changes you, and loss changes your goals, and loss changes what you want out of life, and that what you wanted before in life might not be what you want now. And things are going to start happening that create division in your life where you're like, man, this is just not working for me anymore. And how do I bridge my life back into harmony? And so, you know, I think as grievers, one thing we're all terrified of is change, because it's change that made us lose people we love. It's change that put us in these situations. It's change that, especially if you've lost parents or a spouse or a child, and like everything in your life changed, like financially things changed. Your job had to change. Like it is something that is a catalyst for so many things, and it happens when you're not ready. Like, nobody's ever ready for someone to pass. And I've had to, and I'm working on this. I'm not saying like I am a true follower of this ideology, because it is hard for me to still do this. But I see change, especially after the loss of my dad, that it must automatically be a bad thing. And I'm trying really hard to tell myself, sure, bad things can happen, but good things can also happen if you allow that space for it. So that is one hard concept. It's like a really hard pill to swallow, to be like telling change to a griever. Like, we don't want our lives to change. We didn't want it to change when we lost our people. And yet here we are. We had no choice. We've lived through these changes. And when more change begins to happen in your life, I think it's really easy to go back into that feeling of like, I don't want to lean into that, because the last time a big change happened, bad things happened. And to remind myself that life is nothing but change. Life is going to change all the time. The seasons change all the time. You will change all the time. And that can also beget good change. Good changes can come. Good things can come out of change as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Something that we have talked about briefly is the thought of like the manifestation, and just basically putting good things out there, but also knowing that by opening yourself up, that you're allowing good things to come to you. One hard thing is when you were optimistic, and maybe it's prayers, maybe it's manifesting, you were so optimistic about the world and how things were going to work out, and then they don't. It's so much harder to then be the person that's like, my life is going to work out well. Good things are going to happen to me. I deserve good things, because you get beat down so much and loss takes so much from you, and sickness. And even if it's like Kendall lost one person, I lost three, but she still has to deal with so many ups and downs with her dad. And it's like every time, of course, she wanted it to have a better result. But there's so many complications, so many things that are happening. Just those moments, it's like you have hope, because you need hope. You need to be hopeful that something good is going to happen. And when it doesn't, and then when the ultimate one disappoints you that they're actually gone, and that's like there's no take backs from that. They're erased from this planet and you just have to keep going. That is like you're glued to the floor and you have to rip yourself up off the ground and not only keep going, but then want more for yourself. And like you said, it changes you. It changes what you want. But it's like another next level to be like, I'm going to put good things out there, like we're doing the podcast. We want to help other grievers. We want other people to feel better about their grief. We want to support them. But we also want like good things to happen to us, because we're putting ourselves out there and we want this to continue to grow. It's really hard to get to that place, because it's so many steps to just want to be excited or have anything to look forward to, just even to function. Like, I definitely think there's years where I'm like, I don't remember much of those years. I was just trying to function. Yeah. And I probably still went on trips. I probably still had fun. But I also was probably low functioning in terms of just my feelings. Like, after heartbreak, after heartbreak, after heartbreak, it's like, it's a lot to just try to, like, keep going. And you're like, I want to keep living a life. But to get to the point where you're like, no, I deserve to live a good life and I deserve good things and I'm going to do my part to make that happen, that's like, such a difficult thing. And I've been watching this one family on TikTok, and her name's Deborah Fink, and she has stage 4 cancer. And she's been posting about her journey and she's been sharing. And despite her going on hospice, she's in pain. She's still encouraging people to spend time with your loved ones, do good things, you know, live your life. And it's really hard to see like grief in real time and how hard it is. It's amazing that Deborah's even in the space at all to like want to help people and try to inspire people while doing like going through that. And I think that's a time where people are like, oh, you're so strong. You're so strong. And she's posted videos where she's being vulnerable and honest, and she's tired and she's scared. And I think we don't talk enough about, we always just straight go to like, someone's so strong. Someone, you're so strong to deal with this. But we don't focus more on all the emotions that happen. If, is strength even the right word? You know, because it's like you don't always feel strong in those moments. You're just trying to keep going. And even on the flip side of not being the one actually sick and in pain, literally, to see your mom like that or to see any loved one like that, it's heartbreaking. It's so hard. And people are going to say you're strong, but you're like, I'm not strong. I'm in that moment. It's like that strength isn't what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the worst I've ever felt. I'm trying to hold on to hope. And it's like, at some point, you know, like, I'm going to be disappointed. And I think stuff like that, it's like, it's so interesting to see something so similar happen to another family and see all those emotions. But that all circles back to, like, the biggest lesson is, like, grief is so big and it's so misunderstood. And just how we talk about it and how we support people, I think, is hard. You know, and everyone's different. And it depends on how you're feeling and how currently you're like reactive you are in your grief and sensitive, you know. And I don't blame people for being in those spaces. It's a really hard thing. Like, you're just trying to survive. And I understand that. But I think the biggest lesson is, like, people don't get grief. It needs to be talked about more. We need to, by speaking about it, by sharing experiences, by getting other people's experiences, it has shaped me even more to own how hard it's been and just like reflect on every moment. And just in looking back, I can be like, I was really strong through a lot of that, but I also was 20 other emotions and 20 other things. And just giving myself credit where credit's due. And then also knowing, like, okay, now I'm in a place where like I need to make these changes. And that's been the biggest lesson of like reflecting on the journey of like, here's what I did well, here's what I want to do better. And not in those terms. So some of it's like, it couldn't be helped. Like you lose 3 family members and then just back to your day, like, and yeah, crush it at life. Like that's really hard. So I have to give myself grace for that too. But I think acknowledging just everything I've been through and now, okay, I'm in this place where it's like, I went through all of that. I dealt with all that. And now I can take what I've learned, really digest it and make it for a better future. I think to just be moving forward and to be in this place, I'm like, that is a big win to have gone through those type of things and want to be here and want to be doing this and beyond. I think just it shaped me. It shaped everything about me.
Yeah, I think with the reminders that our lives are so fragile and we can easily go back to that place where we're so scared of. And I talk about in a medical sense because it's not quite the same for people who've lost people in other ways. But if you've lost people because of medical reasons, like the fact I'm terrified of hospitals now, like a place meant to save people. And I hate hospitals. Like I hate the beeps. I hate the lights. I thank you that for all the nurses out there doing the most they can to save lives. But they also know, like, sometimes it's a place where people die and you begin to associate those horrific memories with spaces like that.
My uncle passed away a few years ago and it was my mom's brother. And we already knew, like, it wasn't looking good. And so we got, I don't want to say invited, but, like, can you come, you know, here? And my aunt apologized and was like, I'm so sorry we're making you be here because of everything you've been through. And it was just one of those things where it was like, I appreciate her recognizing that, but also it's like, it's my mom's brother. Like,
yeah,
do I feel great here? No, but it's just what you do for the people that you love. And it wasn't easy, but it's like, life isn't easy and you have to take those things as they come and show up for people because that's what's important. Yeah. So even if that's the hard stuff, and like you said, like we get one chance at this, we get to decide how our life looks from here on out, despite what's happened. And you have to take chances and you have to go for it because you don't want to be someone that like something happens and just like you didn't try.
Yeah.
It's always better to try. And you should definitely always be trying to live a life that fulfills you and is happy and in their honor, but yours. So yeah, a lot to think about going into 2025.
So on a happier note, what can our listeners expect from us in 2025? Any surprises or plans or anything that we can announce to them?
We already mentioned that we're going to be having guests for 2025. Probably said that prematurely in the episode, but for me personally, I think we've just grown a lot through the past first season and then our holiday episodes. I think we've experienced so much growth through that. I'm now excited to be more in a like learning seat. It's not that we won't be still sharing our thoughts and opinions in these episodes, but we're switching roles a little bit that we're going to be learning a lot through these episodes too. So it's not just our experiences. We're bringing other people in the conversations that have different experiences, different thoughts, different things to bring to the table. So for me, that's just really exciting to be able to do that and learn and hopefully also provide good resources for people through these episodes. What are you excited for?
I love that we've always tried new things and tried new platforms and just tested things out. So I'm excited for another year of learning and exploring different aspects of ways that we can find grievers out in the world and just connect them to these resources that we're putting out there. And hopefully they're taking away something that can really impact their life in a positive way.
Like Kendall said, I think we're both very open about trying something and a new platform or trying this or testing it out. And that's been fun, whether it's like, okay, this isn't going to work out or whatever. We're both very flexible to just like try something new to see if it helps. So I think it's just been fun to honestly be flexible and constantly learning and just allowing new opportunities and new things. I mean, during the holiday season, we had like, I think like 6 or 7 episodes jam-packed of just like either they're coming on our podcast or we're going on theirs. That it was like this crazy time of like, oh my gosh, so much happening. But it was so exciting. Like it was our first time being on other people's podcasts. And it's just been like a fun time to learn. And people have been so nice and welcoming. So it's just been a great time. And so I'm really excited for you guys to join us for 2025. And then for us to also just experience it all in real time, as we say.
So back to the thing that we went back when we were doing it in season 1, and then we had our holiday series and we didn't do it for that, but now we're back in season 2. And this is probably my favorite part of the podcast episode is the weekly challenges that we pose. And so to tie it off with a nice little bow for the beginning of 2025, this week's challenge is, what is going to be the first step you're going to take in the new year for your healing air?
Oh my gosh, that's a big question. The first step. I think for my first step for 2025 is what I'm already doing. It's really healing. I feel like myself, like just overall, like I think health is a big one for me. And so I think the first step in my healing journey is what I did is like I signed up for a 30-day pass and I'm doing 75 soft and just like, it's not to like lose a certain amount of weight. It's just like to get myself back into the place where I was, working out frequently and, you know, focusing on my diet more consistently. And that was just a place that I was really comfortable in. And I really threw myself off just by, you know, everyone dying. So that was, I think for me, my first step of a healing era is just continue to heal. But I think just coming to peace with it and also what it signifies to me. Because it signifies to me like losing that sadness that I had and that just like the worst pain to just kind of go through that, especially those second 2 losses for me. So I think the healing era is just like taking care of myself. I think that being the first step of just that. But what about you?
Yeah, I kind of started yesterday. In the previous episode, I talked how that New Year's can kind of be a sentimental time, just as we talked about, you know, it's another physical day reminder that life continues to move forward and, you know, the people we love are in the past. But I was doing this journal prompt. It's kind of like in two parts. So one I did on yesterday, the third, in like reflection of the year, things that I liked, things that I didn't like, things that helped, things that didn't help, my best moments, my worst moments. And then the second part would be today, more forward focus, looking towards the future, things that I would like to see happen this year. So that's one thing. And you don't have to do these on the specific days. It just timed perfectly because how often do you end one year and begin another year? But you can do these whenever you feel like, if you just need something to kind of cut off the past and then begin a fresh start. And I mean, that could be a Sunday to a Monday, you know, like it doesn't even matter. So that's me. One thing I'm going to be doing today to kind of set the framework, hopefully, for the year ahead.
Yeah, I like what you said. It's never too late to just start doing something for yourself or start like removing bad habits or whatever. It doesn't have to be the start of the year. I think we put so much pressure on what the start of the year means. And so I'm not focused on any like New Year's resolutions. For me, it's like, one, just making sure that I prioritize things differently and that I also just like take risks and go for what I want and not worry. I think with this podcast, it really has helped me shed that like fear of just being like seen and being put out there and being kind of in the spotlight in certain ways where I was more shy about it. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to step into it and own it. And we've been doing a lot. We've accomplished a lot. Not everyone can get all these episodes out and do all these things. And it's important that we acknowledge like the road that it's taken to get here and how much we've accomplished and just keep going for that. And I think that through all of this, it continues just to help our healing in general. and we can focus on the little things that we need to focus on for the year. But yeah, I don't think it has to be like, I'm going to do these 10 things. I think it can really just be like, I want to focus on this one thing, and I'm going to make sure that's the one thing that I focus on throughout the year. Because I think you don't change overnight. Mm-hmm. And 10 things is a lot. But one thing that you focus on and you make sure that even if like one day you don't do it, you get back on it. You don't have to be perfect, but as long as it's a main focus, like that's good. That's a good place to be.
Yeah, I completely agree. We would love to hear your answers to this week's challenge. So you can DM us on Instagram or TikTok at Two Girls With Grief Pod, or you can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com.
Yes, and we'd love to hear from you. Have a wonderful start to your year, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Two Girls With Grief podcast. If you are looking for any resources, we'll include some down below in the show notes. And a reminder that we have new episodes every Tuesday.
And if you made it this far, we would appreciate it if you could subscribe, rate, review our podcast. It really helps us get the word out. And as a reminder, grief looks different for everybody. We're just sharing our experiences and our thoughts, and yours might be different, and that's totally okay. So hopefully something we say resonates with you in one of our future episodes, and we'll see you next week.